You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The government is planning to make New Zealand completely predator-free by the year 2050. But what does this actually mean? Well, the rationale behind such a goal is to create further protections for native plants and wildlife. New Zealand has no native predators, and save for a couple of bats, it doesn't even have native mammals. As such, a lot of our wildlife is exceptionally vulnerable to predators like possums, stoats, and rats. New Zealand's wildlife is just not built to defend against predators. Our most famous animal, after all, is quite literally a rotund, flightless bird. It should come as no surprise that a lot of New Zealand's wildlife is currently endangered, and we have a frankly depressing bat catalogue of extinct animals, such as the huia, or the lesser short-tailed bat's aptly named older brother, the greater short-tailed bat, which is thought to have been extinct since the 60s. Last year's Bird of the Year competition crowned the hoiho, the yellow-eyed penguin. They only live and breed in New Zealand, and because of introduced predators, their numbers have been dropping for the past several decades. The same is also true for most varieties of albatross endemic to New Zealand. Most of these birds are classified as being at serious risk from predators. Seabirds like the hoiho are also at risk from fishing nets while they're hunting for food, and are also feeling a lot of the effects climate change is having on our oceans. Back to the task at hand, though, the plan is to permanently eradicate wild rats, stoats, and possums, among other pests, over the next 30 years. It's a daunting task, one that I, personally, don't envy in the slightest, and it's going to take a lot of planning. Planning, though, is another issue on its own. A long-term project such as this is very difficult to account for, and the 30-year plan is actually only a fraction done, with the next 5 years being the only ones that are detailed so far. The government is, by necessity, taking a make-it-up-as-they-go-along approach, with Minister of Conservation Eugenie Sage saying, quote, "There is no map to guide us." For 5 years they do have planned have three key phases. How about we go over them? The first phase is mobilise. The point of this phase is to build resources and engage the public in the cause. The government has already gotten to work on this by joining forces with various trapping communities around the country and providing them with support. So far, they have a legion of 66 trapping groups at their disposal. The next phase is innovate. The government describes this phase as the creation or improvement of predator eradication methods. It's unclear what this will entail, and it very much seems as though this is another part of the make-it-up-as-they-go-along approach they're taking with the 30-year goal at large. It seems as though this could mean the funding of more humane methods of killing pests, which is hopefully true because there's going to be quite a high death toll as the years roll by. Last is accelerate, which the government says means rapidly deploying these methods to manage predators across the country. I can only assume that means they plan to get more efficient and effective in their furious vengeance as time goes on. This isn't the first time that something like this has been done in New Zealand, but it's definitely on a larger scale than ever before. Previously, 117 islands around New Zealand have been cleared of predators, which has apparently done wonders for the conservation of native birds living on those islands. Kakapo have had their most successful breeding season ever, according to the minister, because of the removal of predators from these habitats. If you think about it, New Zealand is just two more islands on top of that 117 they've done already, so how hard could it be? The answer is, well, very hard. Eradicating predators from the mainland is very ambitious, and that ambition comes with a price tag. The plan has been met with some criticism because of how expensive the described methods could be on this scale. Those smaller islands alone cost tens of millions of dollars. The government's innovation phase would probably have to be quite extensive if they hope to find an affordable solution. One possible alternative is gene editing, which Otago University's Lisa Ellis says would be much more affordable and effective. Another criticism levied against this plan is the lack of action in other areas, namely habitat loss and, as always, climate change. Both of these are having serious impacts on New Zealand's native species, and while predators may be a more immediate threat, the cost of habitat loss and a changing climate could create more permanent barriers to their well-being. Either way, the predator-free 2050 dream is a go, and you can expect a large amount of money to be going towards it over the coming years.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.